Let me introduce our debaters. They call him the people's champ because even though he ended up coming third in March 2022, Lagos felt he deserved to have been in the final. He is the third seed here in Group B. He's 16 years old. He has now graduated from secondary school. Ramadan Olalekan Oladikukwu, good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right, Lagos, let's meet our second debater on today's show. He's the second seed here in Group B. He was runner-up in the May 2022 edition and a quarter-finalist in November 2021. Hamid Olarewaju, good to see you. Welcome back.
Good to see you too, man. Good to be
back. Lagos, let me tell you, we're streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. Now, Lagos, here is how things stand in Group B. Ramadan has one win already. Ruth Okorocha, who is waiting at home, also has one win. So if Ramadan wins or draws today, he wins the group, with Ruth qualifying in second place. But if Lanre wins today, then all three debaters will have one win each. And that means that we'll have to add up the points that each debater got in their two debates. The two debaters with the highest points will qualify. In the very unlikely event that they are also tied on points, we will check how many points they scored on rebuttals. Is that clear? Okay. All right. Let's get into it. The contestants have been told the rules. But here the rules are again. I will give you a topic. One of you will be in support. One of you will oppose. You will each first get 3 minutes to present your positions. Then you will each get another 3 minutes in the rebuttal round to address the point your opponent made. If you address a point during rebuttal rounds that your opponent didn't make, the judges don't count it for you. You score zero there. Then you get another 3 minutes in closing, right? The closing round is for you to add any other additional points you want to add, make fresh points you want to make, respond to some other points you didn't have the time to respond to. You just have 3 minutes to do it. And once the clock starts, the clock will not pause. Our panel of judges will score all three rounds based on number, quality, and originality of unique points made. If you repeat a point, your score will not increase. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation. Clarity of thought is showing the judges that you actually understood what you were talking about, what you were told to talk about. Number of opponents' points addressed, very important if you want to win. The strength of your rebuttal of each point. This one gets a lot of people. Now, since this is the group stage, if your scores are tied, there will not be a tiebreaker round. The debate is a draw. In this case, because, like I said when we started earlier on, Ramadan has one win, Ruth Okorocha has one win. If Ramadan wins or draws today, he wins the group, with Ruth qualifying in second place. If Lanre wins today, then all three debaters will have one win each. And that means that we're going to have to add up the points that each debater got in their two debates. The two debaters with the highest points will qualify. In the very unlikely event that they are also all tied on points, we're going to check how many points they scored on rebuttals. Okay, it's time now for the coin toss. Now, you know your topic already, both of you, voting should be mandatory. I love that topic. I can't wait to see what you both do with it. Let's decide who supports and who opposes. I've got a coin to do this. Lanre, I'm going to come to you because you're the higher seed. You're going to choose either heads or tails. If the coin lands on the one you choose, then you will support the motion. If it lands on the other side, you'll oppose. So Ramadan C, it's an actual coin. It's got a head. It's got a tail. Right? It's got a head and it's got a tail. Right? Okay. Call it
tails.
Did you say tail? Oh, you were not expecting it. Okay. All right. So, this is the first time it has happened, right?
This is the first time I'll be supporting.
Oh, this is the first time you'll be supporting.
From the last edition and this edition.
This is the first time you'll be supporting ever?
Ever.
Oh my God. How does it feel? How do you feel? Wait, hold on. Don't tell me you guys are going to prepare only your pools.
No, that's not possible.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Okay. I mean, because sometimes you like get comfortable. You're like, I'll probably be chosen to pose anyway. No?
I was expecting it.
You were expecting it?
The chances of me opposing again.
Again?
Are smaller, yes.
Okay. All right, math guy. Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, voting should be mandatory. Ramadan will say yes, and Lanre will say no. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the Tournament of Champions on Nigeria Info 99.3. Don't go away.
After two high-scoring debates, everyone is still alive in the group of death, Group B. Ramadan Oladipo got redemption against past champion Ruth Okorocha. Ruth bounced back against Hamid Olarenwaju. With one loss, Olarenwaju now faces Ramadan, but he's never lost to a non-champion. Will that record end with Ramadan? Or will Hamid Olarenwaju tie Group B and take it down to points? Find out Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the Ibek Tadifa Tournament of Champions on 99.3 Nigeria Info, or the next day at 3:30 p.m. on Wazobia Max TV.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and it is now time for round one, the presentation round. Let's start with first-time motion supporter, Ramadan Olaleko Oladikupo. Your 3 minutes start now.
Argentina and Australia. These are countries that have adopted mandatory voting, meaning voting is compulsory. Moderator and my adjudicators, here are my reasons for supporting this policy. Firstly, let's say a country has 500 eligible voters and only 100 of them actually vote. And peradventure, a party affords to buy 50% of those votes. Judges, this would greatly affect the results of the election. But with mandatory voting, that 50% would equal just 10% of the voters' population, reducing the effect of vote buying. Secondly, every thug would prefer to attack that polling unit of 50 voters as opposed to that of 300 voters. And with mandatory voting, more people tend to fill up our polling units, making voter suppression more difficult. But don't just take my word for it. According to the Electoral Integrity Project, out of the top 10 countries with the highest voter suppression rates, not a single one of them practice mandatory voting. Doesn't that ring a bell? Thirdly, democracy is rooted in the idea of equal participation of every citizen in the electoral process, and mandatory voting ensures that everybody participates in the electoral process, upholding the concept of democracy. An example is Australia, who ranks top 10 highest scores in the Democracy Index of 2021, all due to mandatory voting. Fourthly, it aids voter education. A study conducted at the University of Sydney in Australia revealed that mandatory voting made their youth more politically knowledgeable. This is because since everybody is now under compulsion to vote, they are more likely to inform themselves about the electoral process, breeding an educated voter populace, which is beneficial for any democracy. Fifthly, planting a seed is essential to growing a garden. And similarly, performing one civic duty of voting is essential to the encouragement we need to perform our other civic duty. Australia actually revealed in their Journal of Political Science that mandatory voting made their citizens more likely to engage in other political activities, further strengthening my point. Sixthly, it reduces socioeconomic inequality levels because now everybody must have a say, regardless of your social class. Jonathan Nagler, a political scientist at the American Research Review Center, evaluated socioeconomic inequality levels in Belgium and revealed that after they adopted mandatory voting, it dropped drastically, further strengthening my point. Seventhly, external pressure on the electoral bodies will force them to conduct elections that are easy and accessible to the general public, increasing the overall ease of elections. The Australian Electoral Commission supports this point by revealing that mandatory voting led to an increased ease in the electoral process, which is once again beneficial beneficial for any country. In addition, it breeds social cohesion because there's now this shared sense of responsibility that I participated in the electoral process and you participated in the electoral process, breeding the social cohesion as observed in Luxembourg and Peru. Ninthly, if 100 people were looking up to you to do something, you'd be more likely to do it than if there were only 10. And with mandatory voting, more people are now looking up to the government, increasing the efficiency of their governance, like what was observed in Australia. Lastly, mandatory voting ensures that whoever is put in the government is chosen by the entirety of the population and not just the minority who would have voted voluntarily, strengthening that concept of democracy that everybody should participate in the electoral process. In the electoral process. Another point is it breeds for policy effectiveness because the government now has to make policies that satisfy the general public, which are actually the most expensive, most effective, like the healthcare policy in Costa Rica. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I like that we're looking at each other. He knew where his time was up. All right. Let me remind you, Lagos, you can watch this live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Landre Hamid, your 3 minutes start now.
I may or I must. Should voting be mandatory in our societies today? Today we find out. Good day, prestigious panel of judges, most accurate timekeeper, and of course, my very esteemed audience. My name is Hamid Olanwade, and today I hope to be convincing you that voting should not be mandatory in our societies with the following points. The first of which being, have you looked at how costly it is conducting mandatory votes, the amount of manpower, money and resources needed to bring people out of their homes and also count and collate these votes? It makes the process seem highly unnecessary. Secondly is the amount of planning that goes into making a vote mandatory. Where will you put the entire voting population of a country? Not only that, how long will it take you to collect each individual post vote and even process them together? Next is the fact that people who usually sit out elections are people who do not feel that they are informed enough to make an accurate choice. Therefore, them sitting it out is actually better for us, the general public, than it is if they competed. Next is the fact that making voting mandatory will encourage a system where candidates have to be convincing, not competent. Smooth-talking candidates with almost empty manifestos will be able to enter power if they can just manage to sway the electorates during their campaign. Next is the fact that voting in and of itself is a way to give every member of society a choice. By extension, voting itself should be a choice given to every member of the society. Also, we don't only have to look at it from the aspect of elections. We can also look at voting as a way of us in our society solving problems as it is in most countries. But by making voting mandatory, people who are not directly impacted by these problems have a say in how the problems are resolved, which will lead to a less than optimal solutions. Next is the fact that when things are made bigger, they tend to go wrong more easily. How are you going to provide security for almost an entire populace coming out to vote? It will make chaos is more likely to be ensued, as can be seen in places like Nigeria, where even without mandatory voting, we already have such high levels of insecurity during election times. Next is the fact that while we're making voting mandatory, we should make it worth the while of the people who are participating in the vote. When these people feel that their votes are being counted, there's no election rigging, they too will want to come out of their own free volition to come out of vote. Also is the fact that mandatory voting wouldn't work everywhere because every political climate is unique. What will work here will not necessarily work in Australia due to things such as population density. It'd be akin to trying to fit a round peg into a square-shaped hole. Another point is the fact that more you try to force people to do something, the more they'll try to rebel against the action. After all, when people are not forced into voting, they still come out and vote. But those who do not want to come out, well, as the saying goes, you can force a horse to water, you cannot force a horse to drink. It will also end up with a system where people in a demographic that has a popular opinion, as long as they have the numbers on their side, no matter whether the opinion is right or wrong or better for everybody in that society, we do not get accurate voting turnout. Finally, we have to look at the fact that we have a situation where voters do not, that this does not stop election rigging.
All right, thank you very much, Landre Hamid. Well done. Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Sorry, this is not Hard Facts. It's Hard Facts time. This is I Beg to Differ, the Tournament of Champions. So called just yet. Calm down. The road is still far. Eh? Phone calls will come, not just right now. We'll take a break. When we come back from this break, it will be round two, rebuttals between Lanre and Ramadan, right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
After two high-scoring debates, everyone is still alive in the group of death, Group B. Ramadan Oladipo got redemption against past champion Ruth Okorocha. Ruth bounced back against Hamid Olarenwaju. With one loss, Olarenwaju now faces Ramadan, but he's never lost to a non-champion. Will that record end with Ramadan? Or will Hamid Olarenwaju tie Group B and take it down to points? Find out Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the Ibek Tedifa Tournament of Champions on 99.3 Nigeria Info, or the next day at 3:30 p.m. on Wazobia Max TV.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to I Beg to Differ on 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is the final match for Group B, the final group match for Group B. We've got Olalekan Ramadan Oladipo in the studio with us. He's facing Lanre Hamid. I was calling him Hamid Olarenwaju up until last week. I quite like how that rolls off my tongue, to be honest with you. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator, and it's now time for round two, the rebuttal round. We'll start this time with the motion opposer. Lanre, your 3 minutes start now.
All protocols being duly observed. My opponent started by saying rigging would be easier when we have smaller groups. But to be fair, the amount of people who are participating in an election does not necessitate the amount of rigging that will go on. After all, not only vote-buying isn't the only way that elections are rigged. People can rig elections at higher offices where the amount of people there does not simply matter. Secondly, you said that it'd be easy. Secondly, you made a point akin to saying security will be easier in higher numbers. But with more people coming out, more potential thugs could also come out. People who were not in the phase of planning the attack will also incite violence during these moments. This does not necessarily mean protection. Thirdly, you said you made the point that in a democracy everybody should vote. But I see this as an issue because in a democracy, it should give everybody equal choice. And if I should choose not to vote, that is really where the ball stops with me. Next, you said the AIDS voter education. Yes and no, because we have a situation where uneducated voters come out thinking that they know it all because they have some sort of God complex, and they end up making bad calls on election days, which impact us negatively all in the future. Next, you said the fact that it grows people's willingness to participate in political activities. Well, if it doesn't necessarily grow their willingness to participate, because if you force me to come out, I might come out and vote, but then I might even just blow my paper. It doesn't necessarily mean that I would want to come out and do it. You now said it reduces social economic gaps. Well, not necessarily, because the places with the least social economic gaps are places such as the Scandinavian nations, where they don't participate mandatory voting, but the social economic gaps are still low. Next, you said you make the electoral process easier. I fail to see how, because the more people that come up in an electoral college system, the more time it will take for you to process votes, the higher chance of riggings will be in specific centers. It causes more problems than it fixes. Next, you said you bring the society closer together. I can see where you come from, but you also have to realize that some societies, people use their differences to spark further controversies. All it would take is somebody saying that one candidate is worse than the other, one solution is worse than the other, and people are ready to throw chairs over such issues. Next, you said you make government more efficient. People in countries always complain about the inefficiency of their government. Even if they vote, that doesn't necessarily mean that the government will become more competent. A government can decide to be lackadaisical to the end of their tenure and leave. They've still caused a problem in that society. Next, you said that more people coming out to vote. You said a point akin to making governments more legitimate. Well, if a smaller population still reflects the results of a bigger population, nothing much has changed. All that has happened is that you've increased the amount of stress on making an election possible. Next, you said it makes the government make better policies. If we have people in the majority who are ill-informed and they end up contributing to making policies that are not beneficial to us or just beneficial to them, you have not made better policies. You have made less inclusive policies. In a regard, this is even a worse situation to be in. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lanre Hamid. Well done. Great work. All right, then. We've got 3 minutes for his opponent, Ramadan. And it starts.
My opponent's first point was on the fact that mandatory voting could become very expensive. But the thing is, yeah, with mandatory voting, the governments we are going to put in are going to be audited by a large number of voters, meaning we are going to be putting in the best government that will bring out better economic policies that could balance out the inequalities that were created by the cost of implementation. Secondly, my opponent also mentioned the point on the amount of planning that goes into implementing mandatory voting. But even small countries like Peru and Luxembourg have already implemented mandatory voting, so meaning only a considerable level of planning will be enough for a smooth transition into the mandatory voting policy, and this should not be something that will scare us away. Another point you made was on uninformed voters casting a ballot. Now, apart from the fact that with mandatory voting, more people are going to be informed on the electoral process. If you are uninformed, there is always the allowance for a blank ballot, like evident in countries like Australia, Argentina. So most of these countries that adopt mandatory voting make allowances for this issue, because if I feel I am not interested in voting, showing up to the electoral box alone is already a fulfillment of that civic duty, and I can as well cast an empty ballot without facing any penalties. Another point you made was empty manifestos would enter power with mandatory voting if they were able to persuade the public to vote for them. Now, like I said earlier, with mandatory voting, there will be more people auditing whichever government is going into power. So you evaluate the policies and evaluate if their manifesto is actually good enough for a country and economy at large. And nobody is going to vote for somebody with an empty manifesto, regardless of how persuasive you might be. Another point you made was voting being a choice. Now, voting is more than just a choice. It is a civic duty. And civic duties are meant to be carried out. They are obligations that are expected of every single citizen in the country. You also made the point on mandatory voting being a less optimal solution. It is not a less optimal solution. It addresses the issue of uninformed voters because it aids voter education. It addresses the problem of thuggery, like I've said earlier, because more people tend to go to the polling units, scaring thugs away. It addresses a lot of other problems, increases government policies. So it is not in any way a type of voting that will lead to less optimal solutions. Now, you also mentioned a point on security issues, that governments will find it difficult to secure voters because they will be a large amount of voters. Now, like I've said earlier, firstly, it will counterbalance the issue of thuggery. And even in small countries like Egypt, Peru, Luxembourg, there have not been any serious issues of security backlash, meaning with mandatory voting, it's kind of naturally balances it out, and with a little bit of planning, we'll be able to address some of these issues without having to blow it out of proportion. Another point you made was making voting worth the while instead of forcing people to vote. Now, even in countries with one of the best democracies, where the voting is worth their while and they believe that their vote counts, there are still low voter turnout. So mandatory voting will actually encourage you to show up to the polling unit and increase voter turnout while making the voting process worth the while. Another point you made is every political country being not the same, that bigger countries like Australia could manage this. But similarly, smaller countries like Luxembourg, Nauru, which I've never heard before, were able to manage mandatory voting.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ramadan. Well done. That's the thing when you have debaters who leave a lot of points on the table. It's going to be a problem to get to all those points during rebuttals. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the final Group B match for the group stages. Next week, we get into quarterfinals and we're trying to figure out who from Group B will make it into the quarterfinals next week. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. We'll take a break so that they can catch their breaths and get ready for their closing as well. Don't go away, Lagos. There's so much more coming up.
After two high-scoring debates, everyone is still alive in the group of death, Group B. Ramadan Oladipo got redemption against past champion Ruth Okorocha. Ruth bounced back against Hamid Olarenwaju. With one loss, Olarenwaju now faces Ramadan, but he's never lost to a non-champion. Will that record end with Ramadan? Or will Hamid Olarenwaju tie Group B and take it down to points? Find out Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the Ibetadifa Tournament of Champions on 99.3 Nigeria Info, or the next day at 3:30 p.m. on Wazobia Max TV.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. It's now time for the closing round. This time we'll start with the motion supporter, Hamid Olarenwaju.
I'm sorry.
Ramadan Aladikupo, I'm sorry. Yes, all right. So your 3 minutes start now.
It increases governmental trust levels. This is because the government tends to satiate the minority who vote so they could vote for them again. And now, with mandatory voting, they now have to satisfy the needs of the majorities, increasing governmental trust levels, like what was observed in Australia, who, according to the Elderman Trust Barometer, have one of the highest governmental trust levels, and they owe this to mandatory voting. And yet, my opponent clamors against this policy. Thirdly, it fosters a sense of civic duty because we are letting these people know that voting is more than just a right. It is a civic duty, and your political participation is expected of you and is an obligation that should be carried out. Thirdly, it encourages political diversity because politicians now have to appeal to people from every single culture, and this political diversity is essential for any healthy democracy. Another point I would like to make is it reduces political apathy because a lot of people feel disengaged and they believe that their vote doesn't count. But mandatory voting kills that thought and reinforces the idea that my vote counts, and that is why the government wants me to vote. Now moving on to some of the rebuttals my opponent tried to make. Firstly, he said rigging will be easier with less people, and this is exactly the point I'm trying to make. With mandatory voting, more people are now going to fill up our polling units, so rigging is becoming harder and it reduces the occurrences of rigging. Now secondly, he said thuggery would also increase with voter participation, but this is a pessimistic speculation that has not been proven in any countries. But the contrary, according to the Electoral Integrity Project, the countries with the highest thuggery and voter suppression rates all practice compulsory voting. So evidently, mandatory voting reduces thuggery occurrences. Another point he made was uneducated voters will be forced to vote. But like I've said earlier, even after enlightenment processes, there is always the allowance for a blank ballot. So if you simply do not understand the electoral process or you do not want to vote for anybody, you can cast a blank ballot without increasing the uninformed voter population. Another point he made is it doesn't necessarily increase political participation. Once again, this is only a speculation. But various researches have proven that mandatory voting actually increases political participation, like what I've said earlier. In the Journal of Political Science, Australia was observed to have had an increased political participation after they adopted mandatory voting, measuring well over 90% in any of their election in voter turnout. Compared to Nigeria, according to Data Fight, we had less than 26.72% voter turnout in our last election. Mandatory voting could seriously address this issue. Another rebuttal you tried to make was it doesn't necessarily reduce socioeconomic inequalities because a lot of countries that do not practice mandatory voting do not have socioeconomic inequalities. Agreed, some countries might not have these inequalities, but then in the countries that do, like in Belgium, mandatory voting helps to reduce the socioeconomic inequalities because it basically helps by making everybody involved in the decision-making process, regardless of your social class. Another rebuttal he tried to make was it causes more problems than it fixes. Now, what exactly are these problems you're talking about? The uninformed voter population, which I've addressed, or the issue of thuggery, which I've addressed. But it fixes a lot of problems, fixes the problems of voter turnout, fixes the problem of government legitimacy, fixes the problem of check and balances on our government, fixes the problem of better audits on whoever is going to be in our political process.
Wow. Thank you. Wow. I know, the time flies. I know. Okay. Let's go to his opposer now. For the last time in the group stage, Hamid Olarinwaju.
Thank you. All protocols you observed, I'd like to make my closing remarks. Now, firstly, in societies, a nasty fact is that we have groups that are largely discriminated against. Making voting mandatory will mean that these groups will have to come out. Some people might end up using this as an excuse to come and find them and attack them, or even the system may be skewed against them, where people who share these prejudices try to keep these people down. Next is the fact that the economy loses money every day that it is shut down to facilitate the people choosing its new leaders. Yes, I agree it's an important process, but you have to remember that the economy also needs to bounce back and make these monies. But in places like Nigeria, where we are already so under in terms of development compared to some other countries, we cannot afford the luxury of doing such things. Next is the fact that it serves as a lead way to dictatorship. The right to vote is a very personal thing for most citizens. It gives them an opportunity to express how they feel about their country. Pushing people to vote is forcing them to do something that they might not feel is necessary for them in particular. I see this as the government emphasizing his powers over the people. Now I'd like to move on to some of my opponent's rebuttals. Next, you said that governments will be audited by a large number of people. This is not necessarily brought about by mandatory voting. South Korea practices mandatory voting, but they use it as a tool to control the people. It's not about mandatory voting. It's about creating systems where the people feel like they are in power. Next is the fact that smaller countries can do it. It will be easier for smaller countries because they have less population density, which means that on average, they have less people voting. Take instance, places like America, where they have over 360 million people, and even here in Nigeria, that at the last estimation, we have about 213 million people. Where do you want to call all these people to come outside to vote? How long do you want to spend on an election day? Next is the fact that you said there's a black ballot. Having a black ballot is no different than me not deciding to come out on election day. So what's the point of forcing me to leave the comfort of my home to come and face all unknown risks and challenges outside when it's a highly unnecessary tax? Now, you said nobody will vote for an empty manifesto, but you fail to see how convincing some people might be, and the lack, and I'm sorry to say, the ignorance that is indebted in human nature. We have people who will be willing to listen to anything as long as they feel that it will save their situation at hand. Next, you said it's an optimal solution for problems. I don't agree that it's a right solution for many of these problems. But even at that, there are better solutions out there to a lot of these issues that you raise. Next is the fact that you said that my claim about it encouraging insecurity is highly biased, but I believe it's not, because the amount of people who come out to vote is also the amount of people who might come out to prevent the voting or might come out to upset the voting. Any increase in percentage will increase the amount of numbers that come out together. Two guns to three guns is still an increase of one gun and about 12 bullets. Next is the fact that forcing people... You also mentioned again that smaller countries can do it. If smaller countries will be able to do it, and yes, they would have less enforcement...
Thank you very much, Hamid Olarewaju. Well done. Great work from both of you. What's wrong, Hamid? Nothing. You don't know when the I know. You know, the time just whew.
Very, very, very.
I know. If I give you 10 minutes, would that be enough? Would you guys like 10 minutes?
I'm asking for 10 minutes. I'm asking like 5.
5 minutes? Five minutes? So should we do quarterfinals 5 minutes? Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll see what the results are. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the Tournament of Champions on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Three debaters have won their way to the last 8.
Every single speech made by politicians are already being manipulated by the media.
You keep on talking about erratic rainfalls, droughts, and flooding.
When Mickey says the argument doesn't have a set of rules and regulations governing his argument.
One got there without saying a word yet.
Today's debate is now a walkover for Stephanie Ahmed.
Two debaters are at home waiting to learn their fate.
Then you also mentioned that church rulers are symbols near to God power.
Yes, the child has not been properly academically satisfied.
But for 4 of the 8 debaters,
when students use an AI like ChatGPT,
so that some hoodlums
who lock horns on match day 3
to skip a class and then be bullied there.
My report out to that is that who that one was.
Their final group match is a fight to survive. It's the end of the group stage at the I Beg to Differ Tournament of Champions. Monday.
I'm Deborah Pamzad.
My name is Salita Kashi.
One winner. Tuesday.
My name is Hamid Olarewaju.
I'm Ola Bora Madanalai.
One winner. Wednesday.
I am Musa Nicola.
Imanola Nati.
One winner. Friday.
My name is Oladi Toluwala Shef.
My name is Stephanie Amek.
One winner. 2 million naira. Join me, your moderator, Sandra Ezekwesili, on 99.3 Nigeria Info at 4 p.m. And catch us the next day on Wazobia Max TV on DSTV Channel 259 or UHF Channel 33. This tournament is brought to you by Paystack in association with Sunu Assurances. Supported by Stover Industries, RLG Communications, Obiwizi.com, Just Delight Non-Dairy Ice Cream, and Wazobia Max TV.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. I love the conversations we have off air, and so do people on social media, by the way, because they're always talking about it on Facebook. and YouTube. Oh, Sandra, I love that you have conversations with the kids. All right. If you just tuned in, you have missed quite the match. Lagos, this was so impressive. My God, this is some of the best stuff that I've ever heard in my life. Okay, the results are before me, so let's take a look. Now, Lagos, we have the results from the judges, but we have two sets of results. That's because there was a penalty. So what I will do first is read you the results from before the penalty. And then I will read you the results for after the penalty. Now, in the presentation round, Ramadan scored 97. Hamid scored 101. For presentation style, Ramadan scored 41. Hamid scored 37. In the rebuttal round, Ramadan scored 87. Lanre scored 75. For rebuttal style, Ramadan scored 34, Lanre scored 30. In the closing round, Ramadan scored 87, Lanre scored 71. For closing style, Ramadan scored 34, Lanre scored 30. And so, the first result that I have in my hands has Ramadan leading with 380 to 344. As penalty, though, for reading points in the presentation round, the judges deducted all of Lanre's presentation points. And that means that Ramadan has won this debate 380 to 344 minus all the points that Lanre scored during the presentation round. Ramadan, congratulations and well done. Okay, that means that you have two wins. You have won Group B and you will be debating next week, Thursday, in quarterfinal Tuesday. Quarterfinal two, Tuesday. Now, you'll be getting your topic this evening, as will your two potential opponents as well. Lanre, unfortunately, this means that you've been eliminated from from the Tournament of Champions.
Even if it's just meeting me, it was
I know. Worth my while. Oh, yeah? You wanted to meet him?
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed listening to his debates on my way home.
Yeah? Yeah, okay. But I need you to hold your head up, though, because, come on, man. Like, you are one of the best debaters that we have ever had on I Beg to Differ. And I'm so grateful that you were available to do this, available to be in the studio, available to share your talent with us again. Thank you for doing it. Well done. Congratulations to both of you for such a great debate. Well done. Gentlemen, you can leave the studio now. Lanre, all the best with graduating secondary school next. And good luck with the future.